Praise the Lord. Well, this morning, title of the message, The Stars Fought from Heaven. The stars fought from heaven. How many know the Lord wants to fight your battles? Battle is not yours, but the Lord. The Lord wants to fight with us. The stars will fight for heaven from us, for us. Isaiah 59 and 19, a familiar verse that we know. When the enemy will come in, shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard, will lift up a standard against him. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, lifts up a standard, which is a military flag, so the people of God can rally to his victory. When the enemy comes in, God raises up his people, and they must be willing in the day of his power. The word also can be interpreted that the Lord will come like a rushing stream, which the Spirit of the Lord drives, that the Lord will come like a violent river, like a rushing stream against his enemies to bring deliverance to his people. And we will see an example of that today as we turn to Judges chapter 5. Judges chapter 5 is the place where we're going to open the scriptures today. It's in the book of Judges, obviously. And the book of Judges was a time where God raised up deliverers, judges, saviors, men and women who would break the power of the enemy and the oppression that had come upon God's people and had come upon the land. That the Lord would help against the oppressions, that he would break the darkness and bring deliverance to his people when they were under the enemy attack and under the enemy power. And so we thank God today that he fights our battles, and he is with us, and he will give us victories on the battlefield of life. In Judges chapter 5, as we begin to look at it, we are reading a poem. It's a song of victory that Deborah and Barak, two judges in the book of Judges, two deliverers, sang as they rejoiced in the victory that God had given them over King Jabin and Captain Sisera of the Canaanites. The Canaanites had oppressed the people of God for 20 years. 20 years they were under this ceiling. The people of God were under oppression and darkness, a cloud of heaviness, as this king and this captain reigned over them. We know the king represents Satan himself, King Jabin and Captain Sisera, one of his principalities. And of course, there were the troops of Canaan as well. But God gave this man and woman, Deborah and Barak, a great victory. In chapter 5 of Judges, Judges 5 and verse 1 says, "Then Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinoam, sang on that day, saying, when leaders lead in Israel, when the people willingly offer themselves, bless the Lord." How many can say bless the Lord to that? When leaders lead, when the spiritual leaders take their place at the head of the army of the Lord and the people willingly offer themselves, bless the Lord. "Hear, O kings, give ear, O princes. I will sing to the Lord. I will sing praise to the Lord God of Israel. Lord, when you went out from Seir," that is in the wilderness area, "when you marched from the field of Edom, as you came to take the promised land, as you came to give your people inheritance in Canaan, Deborah and Barak sang, the earth trembled and the heavens poured. The clouds also poured water. The mountains gushed before the Lord," this Sinai, "before the Lord God of Israel." Then they're bringing it to days near at hand, in the days of Shamgar, another of the judges, son of Anath, in the days of Jael. We're going to hear about her a little later this morning. Deborah, Barak, and a woman called Jael. It says the highways, in the days of Jael, the highways were deserted, and the travelers walked along the byways. It's saying that the main routes were occupied by the enemy and that the people of God walked the secondary routes because they didn't want to confront the enemy. It sounds a lot like our day, because in our day, the enemy occupies the main routes. In politics, in education, in the entertainment systems of this world, we live in days where there's oppression on the land. And the people of God are walking the byways, and the enemy has the main road today. village life ceased. It ceased in Israel because the people no longer lived in the open areas where the villages were. The people of God scrambled up into the hilly areas, the wooded areas, the mountain areas, so they would be safe and protected from the enemy. The enemy was strong in the land. But it says, until I, Deborah, arose a mother in Israel. This was the condition, until I, put your name in there, until I arose. God wants some people to arise. God wants some individuals to arise and say, the oppression has gone on long enough. We are going to help to break the spiritual darkness. We're going to break the enemy advantage in the land. We're going to break that oppression, until I, Deborah, arose a mother in Israel, a woman of the word, a woman who was a prophetess. She was filled with the Spirit. She had the living word of God in her mouth. Why? Because she spent time in the presence of the Lord. She spent time in the word of God, and she was filled with the Spirit. And because of it, there came a militancy in her life and a warfare that was incited within her. She says, they chose new gods. Then was there war in the gates. She said, the reason there's oppression on the people of God is because they've chosen new gods. They haven't forsaken the worldly things. They haven't served the Lord with all their heart. And because of it, because there's sin and because there's compromise, it's the way the enemy has been able to get advantage. The enemy can have no advantage if our lives are pure, if they're wholehearted, if they're full-hearted before the Lord. But it was a day where the people chose the gods of the land. They compromised with the world system, and because of it, the enemy was able to take advantage. The enemy came up, and there was war in the gates. She said, there was not a shield or spear seen among 40,000 in Israel. The enemy had stripped the people of God of their spiritual armor, of their weapons, so there was not a shield of faith seen among the people of God. The enemy had broken down their faith. They now lived in a condition where they were under oppression, under the torment of the enemy, and there wasn't a spear of intercession found in their ranks, not one spear of prayer warriors. Not one spear that would go against the enemy. The people of God had settled down and were just trying to exist in their situation, in their circumstances of life. Oh, she says, my heart is with the rulers of Israel who offered themselves willingly with the people. Bless the Lord. She's praising the Lord. She says, my heart is rejoicing over the leaders that offered themselves against this oppression, against the spiritual warfare. And my heart is with the people. I thank the Lord for every person that joined the war effort to break the powers of the enemy. The people of God were under oppression. The language in chapter 4, because chapter 4 and chapter 5 go together, is that the people of God were so oppressed by this King Jabin and by this Captain Sisera, that in that region, which was in northern Israel near the Sea of Galilee, to the west toward the Mediterranean, that the people of God were put to work as woodcutters because it was an area that was rich in timber. And there they were cutting wood. And there they were preparing it so the enemy could use that wood for export, for his own finances, that he could use that wood and that timber for his own building projects. And the people of God worked and labored under that spirit, under that darkness. All they had in their hands were hatchets and axes. And because there was no spear or shield found, it's apparent that they took those hatchets and those axes when they went to war against the armies of Canaan, the armies of Sisera. What a picture of spiritual warfare today. What a picture of the oppression. Deborah says, this condition existed until I, Deborah, arose. And she began to break off the darkness. And there was a man, Barak, and there was an army of people, as we'll see this morning, that gathered about her, and they brought peace to the land, and they broke off the yoke of the enemy on their lives, the darkness that was on their lives. Deborah, such a spirit of faith and Barak, such a spirit of faith, and a woman called Jael that was involved as well. See, the land of Canaan, that land of Israel in the Middle East, is really a picture of the whole earth. It's a picture in Scripture of the whole earth, something God wants to do in the whole earth. And God's word over Canaan, over Israel, was that it would be a land of peace where the enemies would be broken. It was a land that had promise on it. It had a promise of peace. It had a promise of rest. It had a promise of victory for the people of the Lord. And there was a warfare that was involved. Now we know the whole earth has a promise on it. The promise of the Lord is that this entire planet, this entire earth will be turned into a global Canaan land. For the meek shall inherit the earth. The God-controlled, those that are humble before the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. And Proverbs 2 and 22 says that the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it, but the people of God will remain. This earth is under warfare. This earth is under oppression of the enemy, but God's people are warring. And the Bible tells us that one day, everlasting righteousness will reign on this earth. That this earth was cleansed once by water at the flood of Noah, but it will be purged in the coming days by fire, and that we will live forever on a new world created in righteousness and true peace. God's plan is to cover this earth with the glory of the Lord. Then the knowledge of the Lord shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. God has a great plan for this world. And we must war in this world. We must war in this hour because there's oppression and there's a warfare on the earth. We see enemies taking oppression. We see enemies in their place today. But God's people are warring. And Deborah said, I arose, a mother in Israel. There's a warfare on the planet today until we come to that day of perfect victory. And the question today is, will we offer ourselves? Will we be found on the battlefield? Will we take up the spirit of Deborah and Barak and Jael? Will we engage to fight the enemies and to break the darkness? Deborah said, praise ye the Lord in verse 2. Praise the Lord when the leaders willingly offer themselves and when the people willingly offer themselves to the war effort. In Judges chapter 5, we have two groups of people. Those that willingly offered themselves to the spiritual war, to break the enemy oppression, to help in the warfare, and those who didn't. And we're going to look at them today. So Judges chapter 5, first of all. Judges chapter 5, down to verse 14. Here are some tribes that engage themselves, and we are to learn from these, for they are a reflection of our lives. Deborah said, from Ephraim were those whose roots were in Amalek. That is, Ephraim had taken their land from the Amalekites. Ephraim came to the battlefield. After you, Benjamin was on the battlefield, the tribe of Benjamin, with your peoples. From Machir, rulers came down, that is, referring to the half-tribe of Manasseh that was on the west side of the Jordan in the land. So half Manasseh was there from that side. And from Zebulun, those who bear the recruiter's staff, those who walked under the staff of leadership. Also speaks of those who were military scribes who kept the muster roll and who superintended the army. And the princes of Issachar were with Deborah. As Issachar, so was Barak sent into the valley under his command. The scriptures tell us that 10,000 people from Zebulun and Naphtali came to the battlefield as well. In verse 18, Zebulun is a people who jeopardized their lives to the point of death. Naphtali also on the heights of the battlefield. These are the tribes that are spoken of in glowing terms. These are people that, like us, willingly offered themselves in the warfare against the enemy, against Satan, against the oppression in the earth. And they were at the command of Barak, and they rushed on foot, it says, from Mount Tabor. They rushed down onto that battlefield in the Esdraelon plain to confront 900 chariots of iron. Captain Sisera had 900 chariots of iron. It was intimidating. There was no way they could win this battle on a human scale. But they rushed down into the battle believing a word from God, that what God had said, he would be faithful to fulfill. That when they had a word from God, that God would come on the battlefield with them and God would fight their battles. And God came as he said. He said, you go into the battle and I will show up with you. You go in and fight and I will come with my strength and my miracle and my power on your lives. And Judges chapter 5 shows what happened in the day of battle. Judges chapter 5, 19, Deborah says, the kings came and fought. Then the kings of Canaan fought in Taanach by the waters of Megiddo. They took no spoils of silver. They fought from the heavens. The angelic hosts fought from the heavens. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit fought for these people from the heavens. The stars from their courses fought against Sisera. The torrent of Kishon, the Kishon River, on whose banks this battle was fought, swept them away, that ancient torrent, the torrent of Kishon. Oh, my soul, march on in strength. Speak to your soul. Oh, my soul, march on in strength. Then the horse's hooves pounded, the galloping of his steeds. Those chariot horses were dismayed at what took place that day. The stars fought from heaven for Deborah and Barak. Supernatural events took place on the battlefield. You see, we're not alone. If we will go out and fight, we will go out and fight according to the word of the Lord. The Lord will back us. The Lord will come on the battlefield of our lives. The Lord will come on the battlefield of our circumstances with strength and deliverance that we do not have in ourselves. He says, you go out and fight, and I'll be there with you. But we are the ones that must engage the battle and take on some enemy forces and take on some darkness and oppression that exists in the land. The Lord will come and fight for us. Jehoshaphat, King Jehoshaphat, send out the singers before the army. Send out the worshipers. Send out the minstrels before the army. And as they did, it seemed so ridiculous. It seemed so futile, sending out singers to confront an army with swords and spears, an army that was fully armed. Send out the singers, and as they did, God came on the battlefield, and every enemy was brought down. David, go and pick out five smooth stones out of the river, out of the creek bed, and then you go up against the giant. And I will be with you, and you will bring down giants. You will bring down obstacles and menaces that you could not think you could ever bring down, and you can't in your own strength, but I'll come with you on the field. David, prepare the troops. Prepare the troops, and then wait. You wait, David, you wait. Until you hear the sound of marching in the top of the mulberry bushes, until you hear the advance of the heavenly army, until you hear those mighty angelic warriors over your head, and then you go out, and I will be with you in the battle. Joshua, sanctify the people. Pull the people into holiness, into separation from God, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. The Lord will come on the field. The Lord will come on your circumstance. So we know the Lord fights for us. The Lord comes as we move out into enemy territory to possess things that are not presently in our hand. In this situation in Judges chapter 5, as Barak went out on the battlefield, rushing out onto that plain with all those 900 chariots of iron, can you imagine foot soldiers running out against 900 chariots of iron? pounding hooves, strong animals that could crush you, warriors in those chariots that could cut you in pieces with their swords, destroy you with their spears. But these men ran down into the battle, and something happened as they did. The Bible says the stars fought from heaven. The skies opened up and water began to pour down. It was such a heavy torrent that the river Kishon began to overflow its banks, and all of a sudden all chariot advantage was gone in a moment. And those galloping steeds, the Bible tells us, became so frantic. They were so panicked in that situation that they began to bolt and they began to throw off the traces and the chariots. And they fled from the battlefield, and the soldiers were taken, and everyone was brought down. And the Bible tells us in Judges chapter 4 and 16 that there was not a man left. All the host of Sisera fell upon the edge of the sword, and there was not a man left. So thorough was the victory that day. God came on the battlefield, and God will come on our battlefield as we fight the battles of the Lord. But there was one man who escaped, and it was the captain himself. Every soldier was taken down in that hour, but there was one man that escaped, Sisera the captain, and he fled eastward near to the Sea of Galilee and then northward. He was making his way back up to his King Jabin, who dwelt in Hazor, which is 12 miles north of the Sea of Galilee. He was going back to get under the protection of King Jabin, tell him what had happened. But as he was fleeing, he was so exhausted that he knew of a place where he could find some refuge for a few moments, a few minutes where he could rest his head. And it was the home of Heber and Jael, the wife Jael. These were Kenites. These were descendants of Moses' father-in-law. And they were at peaceful relationships and relations with King Jabin at the time. He said, I can turn into the tent of Jael. Nobody will suspect me to be in the tent of a woman. I can hide here for a little while. And he went and he made contact at the door, and she let him into the tent. And she realized what was taking place. She knew the oppression on the land. She knew how long they'd been under the condition of King Jabin and what had taken place under the tyranny of this King Jabin. And here came Sisera, Captain Sisera, into her tent. Into her tent. He said, I just want refuge for a few moments. I just want to rest my weary body. And she said, come on in. The Bible says he asked for water, but she gave him milk. Probably a fermented drink. Or as we know, milk is reported to have sleep-inducing properties. A baby and his bottle are soon fast asleep. And Sisera, so exhausted from the battle and from what had taken place, lay down on the tent floor. And in a few seconds, he was fast asleep. And the Bible says, blessed be Jael. Blessed be Jael. You think of the courage that it took at that moment. Trembling hands, trembling heart. What if he awoke? What if I miss in my attempt of what I'm going to do? But she took a tent pin, she took a tent peg, and she went over to Sisera as he lay sleeping, and she drove that tent peg down through his temples and fastened him to the ground. The Bible says in Jeremiah 23:29, is not my word like a hammer? And the tent pegs that God gives us are individual scriptures. They are rhema words. They are particular verses out of the Word of God. And with those verses and that hammer of the Word, we can pin our enemy to the dirt. We can drive a stake through the temples of our enemy. We can strike a dart through him and pin him to the ground. Blessed be Jael, the Bible says. Blessed is she among women. This woman in this unknown woman in a remote area in northern Israel, but her name is in the book. Think of it. Her name is in the book. Living a simple life in a simple tent, going about her daily duties, Domestic duties. She was in the home. She was in the kitchen. She was preparing food and washing clothes, doing what she normally would do every day. But there was a day when the Lord delivered the enemy into her hands. And in that day, she did not miss because she was prepared. The oppression had been long enough. She was waiting somehow. In her heart, you know, she was waiting for a day when the oppression would break. And she was asking God that by whatever means, he could bring a deliverance to people and break the power of the enemy. And the Lord delivered him into her hands. She wasn't a Deborah, a prophetess, a well-known woman in the ministry in the land. Woman of the word, a woman that judged Israel. Wow, people came to her for counsel from all over the land. We've got to hear the word of the Lord through Deborah. She'll have a prophetic word for us. She'll give direction to our life and our family. She's got the word of the Lord in her. Jael wasn't that. She wasn't a Barak, a military leader, if you can say that, in the spiritual warfare, a man raised up in a public ministry. She was hidden away in an obscure town. And God used her, and her name is in the pages of the Bible. And God wants to use us wherever we are. Wherever we are. There are times that we are in our home. There are times we are on the job. Times we are in the office. Times where we may be traveling. But we're waiting for an opportunity. And one day the rhema word, one day the Lord God gives the enemy into our hands and we must be ready. And all of a sudden, when the enemy is in our hands and we strike that rhema word through him, all of a sudden healing manifests in our body. And breakthrough comes in our life and to a family member. And oppression is lifted off of us. And temptation that has plagued us maybe for months or years is broken, never to affect our life again, because we've got a stake in the temples of the enemy and we drove it in hard by the power of the Word of God. It doesn't matter who you are. Jael was from the rank and file of Israel. Nobody knew about her. Don't say I'm hidden away. What can God do with me? God wants to make you a Jael. Blessed be Jael. Blessed be you today as you fight the warfare of God wherever you are. See, sometimes leaders are timid, and Barak was timid. And when Deborah said to him, Barak, the Lord's going to give this victory to you and to Israel, he was a little tentative. He was hesitant. He said, well, you must go with me. He was a timid man. And Deborah said at that moment, Barak, you're timid, but you're going to go against the enemy, but the victory is going to be given into the hands of a woman. And she was prophesying of this woman, Jael. You know, sometimes leaders are timid. Sometimes leaders are held back for whatever reason, insecurity, situations of life, maybe their public appearance and what they have to present. But down in the rank and file, there are people like you who can say, I will fight the battles of the Lord. I will be a Jael. I will bring victory. She secured the greatest victory that day, even more than Barak or Deborah herself. Blessed be Jael among women. Now, Barak fought the army. The Bible says in chapter 4 and verse 24 that the hand of the Lord, the hand of the children of Israel, prospered and prevailed against Jabin, the king of Canaan, until they had destroyed Jabin, king of Canaan. They kept fighting, and they even took down Jabin himself, the king. They took down the devil in the end. And as I mentioned earlier, God is going to turn this entire world. He's going to renew it. It's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And he will take out the enemy. The devil will be destroyed. And peace will reign over the whole earth. But until that day, as Exodus 17:15 says, the Lord will have war from generation to generation. Don't miss it. The Lord will have war from generation to generation. And in our generation, we must war and we must fight the battles of the Lord. Now, as I said earlier, there were two groups in Judges chapter 5. Those who willingly offered themselves said, we will go into the spiritual warfare. Why? We will fight the enemy. and those that didn't. Those that helped and those that sat back and were not involved. And we're going to read about those that were not involved right now in Judges chapter 5 and verse 15. In the middle of verse 15, it says, among the divisions of Reuben, there were great resolves of heart. Why did you sit among the sheepfolds to hear the pipings for the flocks? The divisions of Reuben have great searchings of heart. The divisions of Reuben, and we'll come to the others in a moment, the divisions of Reuben have great searchings of heart, or great thoughts of heart. In the tribe of Reuben, they sat around and discussed kingdom oppression and what the enemy was doing and all the problems and difficulty in the land, but they did not respond. They are those that say, our thoughts and our prayers are with you, but they never show up. Our thoughts are with you, but we won't be in the prayer meetings. But their thoughts are there. They sat around, Reuben sat around in committee meetings and conversations and what could be done in the kingdom and what kind of plans could be brought forth, but they never responded. You know, maybe Reuben didn't like what was going on. Maybe Reuben didn't like the plan. Maybe Reuben didn't like the program. Maybe he didn't like the process of as these messengers came and tried to arrest them to come to the war effort. Maybe Reuben didn't like the persons that were leading the spiritual war. And above all, they had to talk about a woman in ministry. A woman in ministry. And they had to get that by their theological considerations. And while they sat around and discussed the war effort and the oppression and all that was wrong in the earth, other men were fighting on the field and giving their lives for the cause of the Lord. Reuben never did come out of beyond the realm of thoughts. Never did come beyond what was locked inside, thinking about the Lord. There was never an utterance of prayer. There was never a manifestation of spiritual zeal. There was never a showing up on the battlefield. He never did show up on the front lines as a worship warrior and a prayer partner. But I trust this morning you can sense how urgent the hour is in which we live. And how much darkness there is upon lives and families and upon our nation and upon this earth. And you would say, I will willingly offer myself. I'm not going to live in the realm of thoughts, of thinkings, of surmisings, of conversations. I'm going to be found on the battlefield as a worship warrior and as a prayer partner. And I'm going to have the Word of God living in my heart so I can declare some things that drive spikes down through the temples of the enemy and pin him to the dirt. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord's looking for people who will dance on injustice. Dancers in the house of God who, as Micah says, their feet will become like bronze hooves that grind the enemy in pieces and pound and pulverize the enemy until he's broken like the dust of the earth. Men and women who will clap their hands and strike against the enemy and drive back the enemy and cause him to flee because of a spiritual operation in the clapping of the hands. And they will lift their hands, as the word yada indicates in its warfare sense, and arrows will fly off these fingertips and sling stones will come out of these hands that will bring down giants of darkness. The Lord is looking for worship warriors and prayer partners today, intercessors for the kingdom of God. Well, Reuben never did show up on the battlefield. He stayed in the realm of his thoughts. Let's come back to the previous slide. Then we have Gilead. Gilead stayed beyond the Jordan. Reference to the other half Manasseh that were on the east side of the Jordan. They were protected by the Jordan, by the valley. They were on the other side. They were safe and secure. They were far from the battlefield. They said, our family's safe, we're protected, our life is all in proper order? My, we're living a good life. Why should we go and unite with the congregation of the Lord in a corporate war effort? Let's just stay in our little church at home. Let's spend as much time at home as we can. Our family, us four no more. It's all good right here. Why should we go and involve ourselves with the congregation of the Lord and get involved with spiritual warfare on a corporate level? Why did Dan remain on ships? Why did Dan remain on ships? It's a lament. Deborah's crying out in her spirit, why did Dan remain on ships? We could have accomplished so much more in the land. Dan was the merchant tribe. Part of their territory was over on the coast. Joppa was a place that later became one of the main seaports for the land. And Dan was over there in his ships, his business, taking care of business. So busy buying and selling, sea traders and merchants. But he could not remove himself from the business aspects of his life, from his occupation, from all the responsibilities he had, all the money he was making, all the enterprise he was involved in. He stuffed some money into the pockets of the messengers. He sent his money, perhaps, but he didn't go. He sent his money to the war effort, but he was never found on the field of battle. Listen, our money is important. The Lord needs money for the kingdom. The Lord needs money to spread the gospel. It's not the money, it's the motivation. It's the motivation. And we all have to give our money. We all have to give our money. But it will never substitute for our presence on the field. It will never substitute for our presence on the field. God wants us on the field. And then we have Asher. Asher continued at the seashore and stayed by his inlets. Asher continued at the seashore. Asher speaks of riches and affluence and the recreation and relaxation that goes with it. And the Bible says he stayed at the seashore, in the bays, in the havens of the seashore, at the river's mouths. I mean, he was on the beach. He was conducting a beach ministry. He liked the relaxation. He liked his comfort. He wasn't going to sacrifice and discomfort his life by getting involved in spiritual warfare and the war effort. Asher stayed at the seashore. Reinhard Bonnke, I'm going to call on one of the best preachers in the world right now. Evangelist Reinhard Bonnke has a chapter in his book, Evangelism by Fire, and he deals with some of these tribes, and my, he's strong. He says, Reuben let Deborah down, but the undertaker was the last to let him down. He says of Dan, tribe of Dan, in church, Dan sings about the sweet by and by on the golden shore. But will his ship reach it or just flounder in the sea of life? If you think such situations could not be, just look around. See the wreckage of lives where people have chosen the wrong priorities. Some of the saddest people have been those with an eye to the main chance who did not keep their eyes on God. The Dan people are those who consider their businesses more important than God's work, their backyards more fruitful than the harvest field, their homes more precious than heaven for the lost, and saving money more expedient than saving souls. I have married a wife. I have bought a team of oxen. I've purchased some land, as he cites Luke chapter 14 and verse 20. Bonnke says of Asher. Asher was on vacation. The sons of Asher say, somebody will turn up and get the job done. I like to spend my weekends where I can get away from it all. I have a quiet, secluded place reserved for me, and it would be silly not to go there. For some, anything that they have planned, anything that crops up, or any other demand but that of God has their immediate attention. They cannot do all that and save souls. That is piling on the work. They need some relaxation at times, and some things have to be attended to. Commitments come first. Let's look at another scripture. Judges 5:23. My, this is strong. Curse Meroz, said the angel of the Lord. Curse its inhabitants bitterly because they did not come to the help of the Lord, to the help of the Lord against the mighty. Curse Meroz, said the angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord, that's Jesus Christ in Scripture, in the Old Testament. Curse its inhabitants bitterly because they did not come to the help of the Lord, to the help of the Lord against the mighty, against the enemies. Meroz was a city just north of the city of Samaria, or a village. They were in close proximity to the battlefield, and the messengers had come, and there had been a prophetic call on that village. Come to the help of the Lord. Come to help us break the enemy oppression. Come to help drive back these warriors of darkness. But the village of Meroz dismissed it as just the voice of men, the voice of a man, the voice of a woman. It's the voice of an overzealous prophetess. This call to spiritual warfare and getting involved with the Lord in a mighty militant way to break oppression and sickness and darkness, to spread the gospel, it's the voice of an overzealous preacher. But let's be careful that we don't dismiss the voice of the Lord by saying, oh, it's just the voice of a man. It's just the voice of a woman. It's just the voice of somebody who wants to be spiritual. It's the voice of the Lord that's calling us in this hour. It's the voice of the Lord. We are on the field against Satan. We are on the field against Satan, and the Lord wants every one of us involved in a direct and powerful way, spiritually involved for the kingdom of our God and of His Christ. We must renew our courage and our faith at the throne of grace often, because that's where our soul strength comes from. Else we lose the vision, we lose the zeal, we lose the fire of God, and we war the warfare of the Lord. Worship team, come. Listen to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 32 to 34. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. I don't know about you, but I want my name. I want my name in the book. I want my name identified here. Time would fail to tell of those that fought the warfare of the Lord in their generation. And so again, there's a call of the Lord upon us today. And I pray that we would willingly offer ourselves in a fresh way this year to the work of the Lord. In the kitchen, on the job, waiting, prepared. Lord, you deliver the enemy into my hands this day, and I will strike him to the ground. men and women of faith wherever they are, united in the house of God as well, for the corporate evangelism, the corporate outreach and thrust of the gospel, men and women in the prayer rooms, holding the spear of intercession until the enemies be consumed, holding up the shield of faith to quench all the fiery darts of the enemy, to bring a protection about the people of God and the church of the Lord, a hedge of protection because of the prayer power of the saints. And I close with Judges 5:31. It says, "So let all your enemies perish, O Lord, but let them that love him, let those that love the Lord be as the sun when he goes forth in his might." Let those that love the Lord be as the sun when he goes forth in his might. And the promise is that those who serve the Lord with all their heart, that love the Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom and his Father's business, that we will shine forth as the sun in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord. Hallelujah and amen. Let's stand together today. Oh, when leaders lead and people willingly offer themselves, the Bible says, bless the Lord. This morning I say, blessed be Deborah. There was oppression until I arose, a mother in Israel. I took on the conquest. Today I say, blessed be Barak, who fought the battles of the Lord, and blessed be Jael among women, because she took out the enemy. She took out a captain. Let's lift our hands this morning and offer ourselves to the Lord.